So, you know, even though we've kind of done the opening part, I also want to extend my welcome to you insofar as I can in your country and your retreat that's already kind of going. But as far as I just want to wish it anyway, I wish that you feel really welcome here and you feel that you have your bit of space, you have your bit of time, and you have your life open to you for exploration, for inspiration, for cultivation. Yeah. And cultivation is probably the best translation for the word bhavana, which we kind of turn, it's the Pali word bhavana, and we turn it into English word meditation. And there's a Hebrew word for that as well. Is it also like meditation? Is it pretty close? Yeah, you stole that one. But good. You can keep it. But cultivation should be what we're thinking about underneath that. Yeah. Like meditation doesn't really mean anything, maybe. Yeah. But cultivation, that's how we grow plants in soil. Yeah. And so that metaphor works really well with meditation. It's like, what seeds are you planting? Right? Are the seeds that you're planting through what you're thinking about, how you're talking to yourself, how you're holding the body, how you're breathing right now? All of those actually plant seeds. They all cultivate things. Moods, emotions, states of being, also political states, they don't come out of nothing. Yeah. Actually come out of intentionality or habit patterns. Yeah. So we come on retreat for the possibility to notice, how am I doing right now? Also a chance to notice without judgment, what am I doing right now? What am I doing with my life? What am I thinking about? Yeah. What am I focusing on? How am I relating to those things? Yeah, real chance to get to know. And I'm going to use one more extra foreign word and then a whole series of English words again, and then I'll check in if anyone wants to switch to translation zone. Yeah. So there's this lovely word in the Tibetan called gom. And gom means to become familiar. To become familiar. So that feeling of, you know, how you know people who are very dear to you in your life, your friends, people in your family, you know, other people, it's like they've become familiar to you. And we can also become increasingly familiar, yeah, as we get closer to them, as we spend more time with them, as we become more tolerant of them, more accepting of them, yeah. And so this gom is another really good word to have in mind when we're working with meditation. So the meditation, first way we spoke about it, is this cultivation of beautiful qualities, yeah, away from the cultivation of not so skillful, wholesome, supportive qualities. And it all relies, it all rests on this gom, becoming familiar, familiar with how I show up, yeah, familiar with what I tend to do, what I tend to pay attention to, how I tend to pay attention. Okay. So that gives you a sense of the kind of words that I'm going to be saying. So if you feel like it would be more helpful to have some translation, it's freely offered. Yeah. Okay. So we're good. You can still switch at any time. Now we can do the really confusing parts. No, it's not quite like that, but I just want to lay out some of these kind of foundational ideas, because this is what we're going to be playing with. Yeah. So you've had a life for decades now. Yeah. And your life is made up of experiences that you have. Yeah. Your senses contact the world, and you have that as your experiences. And by this time, we've got a lot of experiences in this room. Yeah, it's a lot of experience in this room. Actually, I can't resist just going off script a little bit, but like, sometimes when we organize these retreats here and in other places, sometimes they say, is this a retreat for experienced people? I was thinking, what experience are you talking about? So anyway, you're definitely experienced people, right? That's what it means to be a person, is a person who's had a lot of experiences. What are the most important experiences to have? They're yet to get back to me. But the point is, what is an experience? What is an experience? And this might be a definition of experience, or at least it's what I think are the important areas of an experience. You're having an experience right now, yeah? And your experience is dependent on what you're paying attention to, yeah? You pay attention to something else, you're having a different experience. Would we agree about that? Yeah? Okay, so you can change your experience by deciding to pay attention to something else. Your experience is also really, really dependent, and I would say perhaps more, on how you're paying that attention, how you're paying attention to that thing. Yeah? So say, we just had a meal, we paid attention to the taste sensations, at least occasionally. Did anybody forget to taste their meal? Don't be ashamed. You've got other meals to come. You can remember to do it next time. Yeah? But like sometimes we pay attention to that meal and there's a lot of whatever greed about that meal. Yeah. It's, oh, really? Want more of this? Is there more? And that's the main kind of thrust there. Another time we might just be eating and there's no thought of more. It's just really enjoying satisfaction. Tastes are exploding, all of that kind of thing. Another time we can be there, having this meal. What are you doing? Stop it. Mind of your own. We might be having that meal and be completely distracted. Yeah? And the way that we're relating to this thing is we're not with it. We're not connected. So the way of relating to this thing really changes. Yeah? It really changes our experience. It's not the same experience to be intimately connected, focused on, close to, all of that. Yeah? So two ways that we can change our experience is what we pay attention to, and that might be big steps between those. It might actually just be different aspects of the thing. Yeah. Just including more or filtering out more, refining it down to less things. And then the how we're meeting that. And the how, I think, really relates for me to what we were asking you about earlier on, what Zara invited us to share about, what it is that we want to cultivate more of. Yeah, those are the hows that we want to bring in that attention. And broadly speaking, it could be something just like, how much kindness are you bringing in to how you're relating to this? Yeah. But could be anything. Okay, does that make sense? Yeah, you have that intention comes through in how you pay attention to your experience, and that how you pay attention changes your experience. And the teachings are set up to be moving in the direction of more freedom, more ease, more peacefulness, more calmness, more connection, more compassion, whatever it is. Yeah. And the why there is because it's less stressful, less distressing, less harmful, less reactive. And those are descriptions of unpleasant states of being for us and also unpleasant contributions to an interconnected world. Yeah. The world doesn't need more irritated people in it. Yeah. Preaching to the choir. Yeah. It needs people with a wide concern. Yeah, delicate sensitivity, yeah, rich awareness of what's important in life. Yeah. And so we're here now on retreat so that we are in a good space, so that we can contribute to our lives, contribute to the lives of others. Yeah. And we do it on retreat because it's actually easier here to meditate. Right? We can actually be more clear about what it is we want to be cultivating, what intentions are important to us. And also, meditation inclines itself towards more subtle experience. Yeah, so this kind of stepping away from the world is actually what allows us to listen in deeper. Yeah, listen in deeper to how we're doing. And actually, let's just take a moment together. Maybe let's just take three breaths. Let's just see how those breaths are going through the body right now. And there's so much that we can learn just from three breaths. Yeah. It's like, it might be, I really love breathing. It might be, that's really boring. You know, it might be, I didn't even get one breath. You know, I've got a long way to go. I'm really busy. I'm really scattered, really distracted, actually really uncomfortable. You know, all of those kinds of things. But it also gives us a little access point. And it's actually something I want to encourage a sense of from the beginning, is that we don't have to be with all of the breaths. Yeah. So some of the meditation sessions we've got lined up, 45 minutes long, that's a lot of breaths. You know, if you're going to calculate it out, it's probably about 7 breaths a minute, 7 times 45. I mean, that's a big number. 3 breaths. That's not even a count, really, is it? It's either the first one or it's the last one or it's the middle one. You don't even need to count that. It's like every so often just say to yourself, could I be with 3 breaths? Nice, small, attainable goal. And actually, can I breathe in a way which is supportive of my intention for 3 breaths? Yeah. And then relax and rest. Yeah. So the 3 breaths style can really just give us that access point, give us a way in, give us a way to know what it is that we're doing, and reminds ourselves it's achievable, it's attainable, I can cultivate this thing. And so we're here on this retreat so that we can practice our intentions, cultivate what it is that we want to bring into being, become familiar with our own experience, so that we can contribute back into the world as well. Yeah, we're not retreating from the world permanently, stepping back so that we can cultivate these skills in a supportive environment with others, in the silence, in all the care that Zara and Tammy were speaking about that's been put in place here. And our kind managers, kitchen staff, everyone else, you know, working to give us this gift so that we can access the gifts that meditation can offer to us. Yeah. And yeah, I really hope that's what you feel, that's what you get out of this time. But I just want to say a few more words about the title of this retreat and the theme or thematic material that we might notice about it. So in English, at least, this is, you know, for the well-being of all beings. For the well-being of all beings. And you know, I think that's quite a reasonably radical idea of living for the benefit, for the well-being of all beings. Yeah, and it's something that we can actually bring to bear in any moment of this retreat, if it feels helpful. One of the things why it might feel helpful is it actually opens a bigger picture. Yeah. Now, we haven't had that many meditations yet, but you might find yourself having thought in your meditation practice up until this time, or you will think it later on. You know, you might think, I hope this is a good meditation. Yeah. And what do you mean? What do you mean there? usually we might mean, I hope it goes quite quickly. Yeah. I hope it's not too painful. Yeah. I hope it, you know, it's not, there's not too many thoughts, so I don't think about something annoying. So. And that's fine. Yeah. It's fine. But there's more. There's more that we could do with that idea. There's nothing wrong with hoping that this is going to be a good meditation, but I just wonder about a different framing. So why really are we here? We talked about our intentions. Some of you named them. Many of us just maybe thought about them, like what we'd like to see more of in our life, in our world, in our relationships. These meditations, each meditation is actually a chance to develop that. And if that means that actually in the moment the experience of growth is a little bit unpleasant, maybe it's worth it. That could be a different way of framing it, yeah? Not I hope this is an awful meditation, but I hope it's working towards the cultivation of what I want to see. And even if there's a little bit of, you know, growth pains with that, okay. But I hope that that's what's going to come into being. And talking about what an experience becomes, I hope that the way that I relate to what I get to meet is in support of those intentions. Yeah? Does that make sense? Maybe a complicated sentence, but like whatever shows up, thoughts, sensations, sounds, the temperature may become a challenge at some point. Yeah? The freshness or non-freshness of the air that I'm breathing. Yeah? The sounds, as I said, you know, the sensations in the body. Am I meeting those in ways which are strengthening the wholesome, the skillful, the beautiful qualities of this body, heart, and mind? Yeah? Or am I actually contributing to less freedom, less well-being, less beauty? Yeah? So I hope you have good meditations and that your definition of good is good for you. Yeah, supportive of you, supportive of what you most deeply want. Yet, we could actually flip that idea just one more time. Now, for the well-being of all beings. When we meditate in here together, it's more supportive, isn't it, to be with other people? It's also maybe more irritating at certain times, especially if someone starts breathing in a way that kind of we keep hearing, or, you know, or they're just making it too warm, or they were the one who, whatever, did something that is now, you know, we're struggling with. I did a long retreat once with someone with an incredibly squeaky chair. And I thought that should be illegal in a meditation center to have a chair that squeaks like that. But eventually I realized every time this person squeaks, I become present again. And before that moment, I was just off in my fantasies. It's like, thank goodness that person calling me back. So whatever it is, you know, we actually can see it's actually very supportive. If other people's presence is in any way supportive for us, our presence is in some way supportive to them. And a completely different way that I like to think about meditation at times is I'm coming in here, or I'm going out there doing my walking, my movement, whatever. I'm doing it for everyone else. And I actually don't mind if nothing good comes to me. No good meditations for me. I'm completely fine with that now. Yeah. I'm here for the others. I'm here for the world. I'm here for the well-being of all beings, not just one being. Yeah, I'm not trying to make the average increase just by really having an excellent experience myself. But actually, I'm here to contribute. And I'm here to participate. I'm here on behalf of everyone. And what's a delightful side benefit to that, and I'll just point it out now, even though you can discover it for yourself, is that there's so much less to check on myself. Like, have I stopped thinking yet? Am I in deep samadhi? Am I getting insights? It just doesn't matter. I'm not here for me. I'm not here for my good meditation. I'm here for others. And by being here for others, we can actually contribute to our own well-being. Because just showing up, doing the practice, lessening the amount of expectations and checkings and all the rest, yeah, doesn't get involved so much. So even if I'm here and I'm bored, or I'm frustrated, or I'm trapped in my reactivity, I can remember I'm here for others. Yeah, I don't have to. I don't have to fix it. I also don't have to sit here being miserable. It actually makes me happy. Yeah, actually contributes something different. And maybe that's just the final point to say here before we go out for a bit of movement practice, walking practice, whatever it says on the schedule. We're always making a difference. Yeah, we're always contributing something, right? Your experience depends on what you pay attention to and how you pay attention to it. If you change what you pay attention to, you change your experience. If you change how you pay attention to it, you change your experience. Sometimes say mindfulness is kindness. To be mindful is to be kind. Yeah, to be less judgmental, to bring your attention. Always, whatever you give your attention to is a gift. You give your attention. It's also that way in Hebrew. You give your attention. Attention is precious. It's our most precious resource. Yeah, no one should be able to buy your attention. You're giving me your attention for free, and I'm storing it up in my attention banks and in my attention account, and I'll spend it widely and wildly later on. Yeah, no, we give attention, and it's in that moment. It's given. It's a gift. It's a generous thing to do. And here we're guiding our attention towards our experience. And we're guiding it with extra kindness. Extra kindness. Kindness is also priceless. Attention is priceless. So we're contributing all of those things. And life is not unmoved. Our life is changed. Yeah, our life is improved. Life is benefiting from that. The one thing we can't do is not make a difference. Yeah, you're always making a difference. You're always contributing something. And life is endlessly rich with possibilities. What are you going to pay attention to? How are you going to pay attention to it? And when you pay attention to that, it's changing. Endlessly, endlessly going on. So may this time together be for the well-being, the welfare, the benefit of all beings, including you, including me, yeah, including all beings, all human beings, all non-human beings, everywhere. Thank you for being here. Really hope it's a supportive and beneficial time for you, and if there's anything that we can do to be of support to that, do let us know. Okay, so we're gonna go out now for a period of meditation in movement, sometimes called walking meditation. Do you know what it says? It says walking meditation. Okay, it's very old-fashioned, walking meditation. This is meditation in movement. It's the new version. It's both more inclusive of people who can't walk, right? Because you can do it, this kind of movement, whatever else. Typically, people do it walking, yeah, and that's fine. But it's a movement of the body. It's what we're talking about. It's what we're meaning here. And we're doing it with kind attention to the experience that we're going through. Movement is actually also much more inclusive of our life. Our life involves a lot of movement, a lot of activities that we might not previously include. So walking is here as a demonstration of something that we can do while being really present. If you haven't done it before, because it's not something that everybody does, then basically just pay attention to the next three steps that you take and try and notice as much as you can about it, what you can learn about how it feels to have a body, wherever you want to kind of take that. So it could be just feeling that contact of this body touching the earth, the earthiness of the body touching the earthiness of the earth. You know, all of this body stuff came out of the earth, right, at some point, came into food, got nourished, got turned into this bag of skin you find yourself within with your consciousness and attention and all that kind of stuff. And you're just going to go and take it outside and walk it around, you know, paying attention to the experience in ways that are supportive for you. Yeah. So if walking is accessible to you, if walking isn't accessible to you, you can do some other kind of movement. Yeah. You might just want to take a short distance to be walking in, like maybe the width of the room or less, and just see, so that when you reach the end of that, come to a moment of standing still and it's turn around, walking again. And I really would suggest, you know, see if you can be with three steps. Yeah, that really would be quite a lot. Yeah, and then you can just continue moving on the rest. We'll say more about this tomorrow, but for now I would say a couple of things you might want to keep in mind. Stay fluid, stay loose. Yeah, it can be tempting that as we start to pay attention, we start to focus and we become very rigid. It's actually quite nice to allow the body to be in a way that it can enjoy the practice. Yeah. If your mind wanders more while you're out there, that's fine. Yeah. It's okay. It wanders more while I'm out here. We can live with that. Yeah. Another three steps. See if you can just really be present in there. Yeah. Make it accessible, make it enjoyable to do. You can include, you can ignore the sounds around, you can include, you can ignore those around you. Yeah. Who are also doing this weird thing called walking, which is kind of like falling over and then catching yourself, and then all of that. You can ignore or include the enormous amount of space above you and the stars that are coming out and all of that. Whatever feels helpful. Yeah. And then we'll come back together in about half an hour. It's time for a final stillness practice in here. Okay. So once again, thanks for being here. Thanks for listening, sharing your attention. I hope you enjoy the movement.